Hey everyone, Alex here with a quick apology ahead of today's episode. Unfortunately, there was a pretty spectacular failure during the recording of this episode, and long story short, we only managed to recover a single microphone track. Thankfully, our amazing editing team have managed to work some magic and modify that track so that the episode can still air and you'll still be able to hear everyone, but we just wanted to apologise for the one-off drop in quality, especially at such a dramatic moment. Thanks for your understanding. Our quality should be back up to normal from next week.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Lara Taffer, Justin Bankert and Arkvelina Protrutis, Alexander Kroschka, Jameson Senger, Ian Barrett, Johnny, Fabian Baranovsky, Richard Maxton, Rob Kerr. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
Fair, fair.
Sasha Racket is fine. Fine, we're fine. It's fine. Great, thanks for the healing. That felt great. Fine. Yeah.
Grizzled Drick Axamstam, who's really happy that he's helping his friends.
Genuinely, everything's brilliant.
For anyone who's tuning in and didn't hear the last episode, by the way, I should point out my character is called Hamantala Harun Altahan. He's currently been reduced to a mindless beast, though, which hence the...
Yeah. Yeah.
Undead.
Oh, hey, not entirely.
Mild case.
You have a mild case of undead. So we're going to pick up exactly where we left off, unsurprisingly, because the stakes are rather high. I'm going to start with Kafka, because Bertie, you've just had your turn, we're in initiative order, and he just took a massive sword to the chest. He stumbles back, looks at you, and what exactly are you?
6 seconds, by the way.
Yep.
All right.
And he then raises 15 feet in the air, and is just floating above the stage. However, his attention is still very much clearly focused on the book, which is about 20 feet to your right, more or less. You are directly between him and it. Like, he can't get to it unless he goes through you.
Okay, if he's left my combat zone, wherever it is, do I get an attack of opportunity?
Yes.
Okay, then presumably Bertie does that.
You can. Do you want to?
Just roll it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Yes. It's fine.
Yes, I do want to.
Are you totally sure? Is this what you want?
Just using a spooky voice.
Is this a thing that you're choosing? What is that what you're doing? Are you choosing
Think
to do this?
All your other priorities.
Is this the path you're taking?
Yeah.
If this was a point of no return, would you say you would proceed with what you're doing?
Yes.
Kafka will remember this.
All right, then, I suppose.
Consider all the other dimensions in which you didn't make this choice.
Because we're fighting Kafka. And what did he do to me? He caused me to metamorphose.
Yeah. Come here, Kafka, you cockroach.
I failed to conjugate that verb, but the intent was there.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, I'm not sure what the modifiers are, but Bertie rolled 15 with a tap bonus of 12.
So 27.
27 total.
Yeah, you managed to get an attack off on him. Roll the damage if you want. I mean, if you really
Stop
want
questioning.
To.
James' execution of the basic rules of the game.
That's 18 damage.
Ooh. Yeah, take that, Kafka.
That's grim.
Asking if he was sure too many times.
On top of the 11 from last episode, so that's 29 damage, I think.
So he starts rising up, and you basically baseball swing it in order to get as much power behind it.
Cricket!
He's a little dweeb.
Cricket swing!
I'm so sorry. It was
full leg drive to
Yeah, rounders at a push.
You
lacrosse sometimes.
I'm very lacrosse indeed!
You lop off his left foot. At the ankle, the whole lot comes off. He appears not to have noticed. He is bleeding profusely and is now flying above you with just apparently gushing blood from his one severed foot.
That is cheating!
Grizzop, you're up. You are unaware of this.
From the top down.
It's like a health bar.
So where are we at? We've got one giant zombie on the floor with arrows in its eyes.
Which is getting up the next round, I can tell you.
We have another giant that's failing to climb. I think I'm just going to, well, since it worked so well last time, I'm going to shoot the other giant in the eyes.
Okay, go for it.
That's going to be a miss, that one.
Possibly a miss, yeah. So, involving everything, that's a 17 and a 12.
17 and 12. They both hit. One of them goes in the eyes.
Okay, so the one that goes in the eyes does 5 fire damage.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that doesn't does 10 fire damage.
Did you just poo-poo 15 fire damage with some of it being in the eye?
It wasn't in the eyes, all of it.
Yeah. Some of it was in the feelings. Ben's feelings.
Yeah.
Okay, all good?
Yes.
Yeah, it takes the hit. And the second one that goes in the torso just... It doesn't really seem to have noticed it. It's just buried in it somewhere. It took the damage.
Right.
Yeah, it's not lovely. Sasha, you're up. You are now no longer nauseated. Whatever that weirdness was, it's definitely passed.
Yeah, I wonder what that was. I'm fine.
Probably nothing.
Yeah, gonna throw my...
Penultimate
alchemist bomb. This is my second one.
Yep.
Okay.
Go for it.
So, yeah. 8 plus 7.
You good?
Hey.
You have to roll really badly, really badly to miss.
And it does 5 damage.
Funnily enough, it's almost like the massive lumbering giants. I mean, bit meta here, might be good at taking a hit, but not necessarily at dodging it.
Remember they all have the ones.
Yep.
So hopefully the little ones are getting at least slightly.
They're really haggard, yeah.
They are. You have eliminated a decent number between the two of you. The only problem is there's that much going on, it's hard to count them, but you've certainly dealt with 1.5, maybe 2 waves of the smaller ones.
There's a lot of roiling, half chopped
in
off limbs.
In the darkness.
Limbs and legs and stuff.
It's definitely starting to get stinky.
I mean, mostly what you're doing, though, is creating a stairway out of zombie corpses for the other zombies to come.
They're going
to
World War Z this.
Yeah. It's a pretty heavy-handed metaphor for labour conditions under late capitalism, but I like it.
Look.
It's also worth mentioning that I'm not counting arrows because counting individual arrows is terribly boring, but tell me when I run out.
Yeah, that's fine. Now, we use the rule of that sounds about right here. That's the rusty quill way. Both Grizzop and Sasha, give me a perception check.
Oh, 20. Plus my bonus of everything.
14.
Yep. 14?
So I perceived at 30.
So, Grizzop, you, over the cacophony, you hear what's definitely a disturbance coming from other parts of the basement at this point. Mm-hmm. Sasha, you are well aware that further down the corridor, so deeper into the sort of twisty, winding corridor rather than like back towards the main auditorium, there are the distinct sounds of things climbing stairs.
Oh dear.
That's their turn. Hamid is gone.
Hamid scampers off into the wings.
Into the darkness. I'm so sorry.
Starts chowing down on some...
Civilians.
Delicious.
Civilians.
No.
Waiting for a princess's kiss to restore him to his true form.
He's going to go and have a mansion full of weirdly animated servants.
All of that is a single round action.
A mask that covers up his dragony self and then starts playing the organ deep in the bowels.
You want one of those little emergency signs. Help, I've fallen and now I'm a monster. Please give me a kiss.
His instinct, by the way, is to head upwards. So he's basically going to be running pretty randomly.
Sure.
But when he won't go down any stairs.
Sure, sure.
He might go up some.
Yep.
Kong defense.
It always ends well. Bertie.
Question. You realise he doesn't have wings. Let's find out.
You have successfully hacked a great wadge of Kafka off, and he hasn't appeared to notice yet.
Yep.
What do you do? He's currently above you to the point where...
You said 15 feet earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and how
you can still fly to him, basically.
Okay. You can literally just rise up 15 feet yourself.
Just like, ha ha ha, watch me fly! Yep.
Is that something that would require a fly check, or is that literally just turning them on and then going up to his height?
I will get you to roll a fly check, just don't get a one.
Okay.
Just don't get a one. Case,
Bertie will attempt to not roll a one as he soars through the air. Can you do the Kafka cackle of the...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
18 minus 7 is still a technically competent 11.
You come straight at him. I'm not going to allow you to charge wearing these boots, but you still manage to, you know, go straight for the attack.
Yep. Good evening, as he comes straight up to eye level, like sure. Eye to eye with Kafka, swings the sword straight at his torso, rolls 15.
Miss.
Oh.
Yeah. Whoomph. He just does a backward somersault with all of the grace that Bertie normally flying lacks. Yeah. Turns out going vertically up was okay.
Spraying Bertie with anchor. Process.
My final move, the blood pinwheel.
It's not even my final form.
Spraying everywhere. All the people in the audience is like, oh gosh, it's a great special effect. Splash, very immersive.
I like to think that the score of the opera is continuing underneath.
The music is still going. It's epic, is what it is. And I use that as someone who hates that word. Okay.
Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Is it totally radical?
It's totes rad.
It's cowabunga.
It's properly bodacious, yes.
I can't top bodacious.
Kafka begins to cast a spell and makes a concentration check in order to avoid getting absolutely annihilated. He rolls for his concentration check and succeeds.
No attack of opportunity.
No attack of opportunity. Give me a will save, Bertie.
11. Oh, is it versus fear?
No.
11.
You freeze in place. Your boots are flying, are still flying. You, however, are mid-swing, sort of, like...
Yeah.
Does he topple?
You start to gently rotate off from the centre on at least two axes, but you are completely frozen.
Let's have some fun, shall we?
And with that, Grizzop, you're up.
I'm going to leap down.
Whoa! Okay.
On top of the giant, drawing my sword, and land on top of it and channel positive energy to try and get as many as the small ones as possible.
Okay. Give me an acrobatics roll to not get just...
7.
7. So you leap down in order to basically land on it. Yep. You misjudge it. It's slimy, it's slippery, and you slide off its back and land in the water. Still on your feet, you're not prone or anything, but you are now in the water with a basically now standing one that's been apparently blinded by your luck. The other one that you've just slid down the back of that you're not sure whether it's aware of you or not. Mm-hmm. And all of the little ones that are immediately swarming in towards you. You can still do your channel positive energy.
My channel positive energy.
Go for it.
Everything within 30 feet takes 6 positive energy with a will save of 16.
All of the small ones within your immediate area. There's definitely the sounds of further in, but they're a decent distance away and so on. The big guys have also taken the damage. Can you remind me what it was?
Six.
Sasha, you are up.
Why did he do that? Throw a rope down for him. Can you climb out?
Yeah, it'll probably be fine.
Okay. Well, I can't throw a bomb now. So...
6 seconds,
can't
up.
Can't see anything.
Tough, what are you doing now? No more speaking.
Throw a rope for you.
Did you throw the rope?
Yeah.
Well, you're just dropping a rope. You don't need to give an attack roll. Yeah, it's all good.
Just dropping a rope.
That's fine. On the zombies' turn, there are no small ones with which to move towards Grizzop. However, the big guy that you slid down...
Is that the blind one or the not blind one?
The not blind, the half blind one, did not notice because it's half blind.
Oh, in this kingdom, he is now king.
Yes, yes, he is. I'm full of allegory and metaphor, and I'm really glad that you're noticing all of these.
There's a lot of wisdom in this room.
Mm.
A lot of warmth and a lot of wisdom.
With that,
wisdom, we mean BI, really.
Mostly the. Yeah.
So with that, the second giant zombie just takes a wild swing because it knows there's someone there.
Sure.
You are getting concealment.
I mean, it has to hit 21 anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. So, he takes a random swing at you, and we'll see if it manages to make it through the concealment, in inverted commas, because you're blinded. I don't believe so. So with that in mind, it takes what would have been a crushing blow to your head. However, you're able to dodge it, but it's more due to you dodging it than it not knowing where you were, because the water's giving you away, basically. There are no smaller ones to run towards you. However, from a door further down that corridor, bursts open, and a load of the smaller ones start shambling towards you guys on along the corridor. They are not going to make it there now, but next time that they get to move, they will be upon you both.
Well, upon Sasha, because Grizzop's down below.
Oh yeah, Grizzop's good, he's safe. Just chilling out.
Safe.
Maxing, relaxing, all cool. And, right.
Is the big shambling zombie thing, is he the king of Bel Air? Is that the kingdom?
You're not there, you don't know.
Oh, true. House ruler. Sharon.
Bertie.
Yep.
You're up. However, you are completely static and frozen in place.
Rotating very slightly, and frozen in terror.
He has, however, allowed you to continue speaking.
Okay.
I am going to briefly drop out of combat time for the sake of Bertie, otherwise I'm going to lose my sanity a little bit, because the talking in 6-second increments is too hard. And who, pray tell, are you?
I am Sir Bertrand McGovingham.
As he rotates.
Gently, yes.
Slowly, eventually ending up upside down.
Gently, I am Sir Bertrand McGovingham.
And as he's talking, he's floating quite gracefully down. He's not bothering to put his feet down, obviously, and going to pick up his book again. And he's turning back to you. Once he's got the book in his hand, he's just floating back over to you and coming in nice and close. McGuffingham.
McGuffingham.
Interesting. And why shouldn't I immediately disintegrate you, McGuffingham?
Is Bertie touching him, or sorry, is Kafka touching him even slightly?
No.
Okay.
I am the hero of this narrative, and without me, this whole narrative world collapses.
Bertie is clutching the solipsistic straws.
The hero of this narrative, yes.
Fascinating.
The only protagonist I've ever met, says a voice in Bertie's head. That sounds like a good thing to say.
Kafka,
I'll say it. Bertie continues saying that out loud. He literally says that to Kafka, including the stuff.
Kafka gestures to the wings. There's a brief sort of cut-off cry, and then the soprano that was singing earlier is pulled out onto the stage and is lifted up.
The hero.
Yes, I am the hero. The heroiest hero.
Well, what would a hero be without the hero's choice? Am I right?
Hero's choice.
Upside down swaying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is as unglamorous as possible, at which point the...
Bertie's head's at about 4 o'clock.
At which point...
The blood's rushing to his head. He does not notice.
At which point the woman is now coming close to you. Cutting back to Grizzop.
Right, well, Sasha's thrown a rope, and Grizzop just suddenly realised that this was actually quite a bad idea.
Funny that.
Well, so he's got wisdom of 8. I'm going to try and climb...
Oh, no!
And I do really badly. Was that what is that?
Acrobatics or a climb?
It's a climb check.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole skill about it.
Which is strength based.
That's a three.
Three plus whatever the rope gives you. You start climbing it, it's too wet, it's too slippy, and you slam back onto your feet. You still got your feet, you still got your weapons in hand and so on. But yeah, you didn't manage to make it up this turn. Sasha, you're up.
Wrap it round you and I'll pull.
All right!
I assume that you are just waiting to pull Grizzop up when he's ready, yeah? In the meantime, the zombies shamble closer and make it up to you guys. Again, because they're zombies, and zombies are rubbish, they don't take any attacks because they can't. But they are filling the corridor. Meanwhile, cutting back to Bertie.
So, what I'm hearing is that if you were to say, oh, I don't know, be asked to sacrifice yourself quite nobly, you do so, being Such a hero. Such a hero.
Bertie sort of... I mean...
In front of all of these people. In front of all of these
people. You notice at this point that while you were assuming that, like, the people were asleep or something, they weren't really moving, everyone is actually watching what's going on the stage. They're just not moving from their seats. It's, again, you finally put two and two together. Oh, they're probably too afraid to move. Mm. That's probably what that is.
Hello, fans! Bertie says as he totally continues to rotate.
So here's what we'll do. So here's what we'll do. If you beg, if you, you know, really beg not to die, I'll kill her.
She doesn't seem able to react. She appears under a similar compulsion as yourself.
Of course, if you don't, you'll be such a hero that I'll have to dismiss you. What do you think?
Is the soprano, is this Hamid's sister?
Yes.
It is Hamid's sister. Okay, so Bertie is making some calculations at this point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Using very clever maths, because he, of course, has knowledge of the contract, and he knows that if he sacrifices the damsel in distress, Hamid's sister, then that is his third heroism strike.
Yes.
And he is consigned to the eternal fiery poo dimension and erased from all history.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that if he begs pathetically in front of this many people, then that would also be a third strike.
Yes.
He would be consigned to the eternal fiery poo dimension. And there's not really anything else he can do?
Could keep him talking.
Can keep him talking. He can stall. He can stall. So
you could, in fact, use pomp and pageantry to stall as a bonus.
He's going to fall back on his pomp and pageantry and is going...
Like the heroes of old in the precedent set, way back. In fact, let me recite all of them.
As someone that's read Beowulf in the original, they actually do.
Yeah, that's a thing that they do.
Before anything starts, it's mostly talk. A lot of the stuff that goes on is because of drunken bets.
So what are you doing, Bertie?
So Bertie is... So he's damned if he does, literally damned if he does, and literally damned if he doesn't.
Yes, he is.
So he's going to stall for time.
Okay.
So Bertie is going to pomp and pageantry it, and he, from this position, is going to attempt to intimidate his way while completely
He's
going
to attempt to intimidate Kafka away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Man didn't notice his foot being chopped off.
Yep.
Okay, so go ahead and give me the roll. Do you want to add pomp and pageantry to that? I'll let you.
Yeah, I'm going to add pomp and pageantry to it.
Go for it.
All right, that is 23.
I'll let you know whether it worked after we return from a brief break. And welcome back. So you know how I said I'd tell you when we come back from the break?
Will Bertie's magnificent plan work?
No. No, it won't. And with that, let's cut to Grizzop. Do you want to try climbing this rope one last time?
No, I have tied it around myself.
And excellent.
I have braced myself, so like I'm abseiling. But
yep.
I'm sure there's an actual word for that. And I've got my my bow and arrow out because I can now hear those zombies that are coming up and bearing down on Sasha. So I'm going to try and, if while she's pulling me up for my own stupidity, try and stop her from being eaten by zombies, because it's the least I could do.
So Grizzop's super small, and Sasha, you're basically the only normal-sized human here, Bertie being the humongous beast that he is.
Mod is minus one.
Give me a roll and don't do badly.
Well, that's most of the time, right?
Ooh,
yay!
14 minus one.
You successfully managed to haul Grizzop up and onto the ledge with you.
Because it was on the edge. That's not the strongest roll.
Grizzop, what are you doing?
Okay, so I've tied the rope around myself, and I'm bracing my legs on the wall,
yep.
So like reverse abseiling.
Yep.
And I'm readying an action with my bow to, as soon as I get out of the, into the doorway,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot the closest two zombies to try and help protect us from being brought down.
Okay.
Okay, well, remember my modifier is a minus one on the strength.
Everything's fine. Okay, good.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
15 minus one is 30.
You successfully haul Grizzop up into the doorway. I believe your ready to action goes off, Grizzop.
Right. 30 whole feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm getting super mushy in terms of time and mechanics here.
Sasha is hitched.
So I hit the first one on a 28, and I hit the second one on a 16.
Yes, you do.
Cool. So the first one
really hits.
First one takes 8 fire. The second one takes 5 fire.
These are zombies on the corridor, yeah? The first one just explodes. The second one immediately is prone. Not dead, but...
Sorry, that was really stupid. Let's go.
The zombies take some attacks. They miss. One hits. They miss. And they miss. The one hit does a formidable 5 damage to Grizzop.
Okay, 5 damage. Sure.
It's just a slam. Right. I am going to jump back to Bertie now. Mm-hmm. Please give your attempt.
Well, you know, this might seem like a difficult situation, but I work my way out of more difficult situations than this before. Now,
Kafka's not listening and is turning the pages in the book, but carry on.
Now, I've not got much for your sort with your book learning. You know, it
you talk
me
too much.
That I was a
he casts a spell. Give me a will save.
12.
You immediately begin suffocating. Give me a fort save.
That is 17.
You are suffocating as it stands.
All you need to do is just nod your head, and this can all come off you. Go on to her. In front of this audience right now. In front of all these special people. Because you do talk far, far too much.
With that, I am going to smash cut. Presumably, Grizzop and Sasha, you are probably going to leave that situation, I'm guessing. Or are you just charge of the light brigading it?
A Tanglefoot bag over my shoulder to try and slow them. Like, I'm guessing
they're already slow, but
that's not a good idea. Yeah. Good idea.
Okay, so that would. The problem is I've stacked all my dice in pretty things, so I can't even find them. Oh, that's 6, but I'll assume that I get the same attack bonus I do with like 5.
Yeah,
you do.
So
you do.
7, so that's 13.
13. Zombies aren't known for their reflex saves. Some of them make it. However, only a few before one of them stupid enough to literally walk straight into it and go, and then the other ones with the pressure go, and then the whole lot just descends into a pile of, but there are still a few who are...
I mean, the hope is to bung up the corridor.
They look quite bunged.
Zombies, like a champagne cork.
No, but that implies they're going to explode.
Yes, it does!
Only on a special occasion, like a wedding or a christening.
Or an opera.
Or an opera.
Meanwhile, Grizzop, what are you up to?
I am just running and, like, covering us. So I've got an arrow knocked and ready. I am going to turn off the... Divine Bond.
Sure. So, again, accelerating time and skipping things and bringing everything back into sync because it's been a bit warped. We are smash cutting to you, bursting into the auditorium. Yes, Sasha's efforts did slow them down. Yes, you taking out the four runners with your bow did manage to buy you some time, but nonetheless, fairly hot on your heels are a bunch of zombies. You burst into the auditorium, instinct makes you slam the door shut. Both of you give me a perception check.
Oh, nat 20.
Whoa!
7, but, you know, with my pathetic bonus of 10, that's only 17.
Whoa! Right, so, I'll go for the 17 first. Kafka's floating. He's got no leg. Bertie's floating, sort of upside down, but at a very, like, unglamorous angle. And he's silent and still for once.
Very wrong.
There is that soprano that Hamid kept going on and on and on about is also floating up there beside them. And Kafka's floating over all of this, and the entire room is full of people who are being completely silent. Sasha, you feel this distinct feeling of something trying to place its effect upon you. Mm-hmm. Give me a will save.
6 plus 3, 9.
9. Kafka looks amazing. He just looks brilliant. Not like the kind of person that you would obey orders from or anything like that.
Hot.
But yeah, he's
man, you know
just
how, you know
awesome.
It's about people jumping. Yeah. This guy is flying.
Oh yeah.
Look, he's a thinker too. Yeah. Oh, my.
He's the whole package. Grizzop, can you give me a will save?
Just frames, but yeah.
just thick black frames.
Yeah.
Half moons peering over them.
8 plus 6, that's 14.
Do you get any bonuses for a fear effect? A fear effect?
No.
You are yourself overwhelmed with the same kind of thing that affected Bertie. That moment of... Ooh. You do notice, with perception though, that clearly Bertie's in some kind of trouble.
Sure.
And you see that the entire room appear to be under the same kind of thing that is affecting you.
Sure. With a natural 20, he probably spots on the side of the stage the bracelets Hamid normally wears.
What I was going to say is that you do see, basically, the remnants of what used to be Hamid, as far as you can tell, up in the wings.
Things aren't good.
Bertie.
Yep.
Tick, tick, tock, tock, tick. I am going to have to be blunt with you.
Yeah.
You are quite literally one round from being unconscious and another round from being dead.
Are you using the chatty sword or the non-chatty sword?
I'm using the chatty sword.
Ah.
Can Bertie speak?
You can only gasp. But you can nod your head as he asked.
Okay.
So you are still held person. And for the sake of all of you keeping track of time, yeah, Kafka might have cast hold person again. Like, he's powerful enough to do that. It's no biggie. But nonetheless, you are currently held up to your neck.
Mm.
And you are... you can't breathe. You can move your head. That's it.
Okay. Thing is, if Bertie gives up Hammond's sister, then he's dead anyway, but dead in an eternal, horrible way. But if he stays... here being choked, he also dies, but dies in a less awful way because he's a hero, so he just has like normal death. But that involves a supreme sacrifice.
And Hamid is going to be super, you know, primed to want to resurrect you.
That's true.
Yeah, fair.
That is true.
This is so much thinking racing through your mind
yes.
in these 6 seconds.
So Bertie's. Bertie looks at the sword for guidance, like, looks at the sword, like, really intently, of like, tell me what to do! But in his brain.
The sword? I'm really sorry, but... well... it's been fun?
Bertie looks daggers at the sword.
The sword goes, my babies!
Yeah.
The sword is not intimidating.
That's his action at this point. He does that, he stares at the sword. He's typically being cross at the sword to think about anything else at this point.
Okay. I am obviously now putting you all back into initiative order for the simple reason that I've managed to reconvene the party. Yeah, most of them, the ones that aren't. I'm not even going to engage.
Feral baby dragons.
I'm not even going to engage with that right now. So with that in mind, actually, Grizzop, you are up first. I'm going to keep the initiative order from last time.
Sure. Is there anything I can do against
you? You can give me another will save.
That's a 19.
You shake it off.
Do I get an action?
You can have one action because I've had you do two will saves sort of on the fly there.
Sure, yeah. I'm going to pop two shots off at the book.
Okay.
Because I can do that as one action.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so yeah, it's a cool shot on the book.
Go for it.
Am I within 30 foot of him?
Yes.
Okay. One's a 15 and the other is a 22.
The... I'm going to give him a reflex save.
Sure.
That he did really badly on.
Cool.
They both... bury into the book. Roll damage for the book.
Okay, unfortunately,
I'm no longer flaming. No!
Unless it's a bonus action, I don't know how this works. I'm just going to ignore it. That's two damage, sorry, and 5 damage on the book.
So the first arrow clips the binding of the book and distinctly tears it. The second one buries itself into the cover and clearly is like starting to affect some of the pages. There's a weird, peculiar moment of you can feel everything sort of suck inwards a bit, and that power that was sort of holding you frozen gives a whoomph, and the whole room, everyone in this sort of wave, leans in towards it and then back out again.
Mexican wave!
The most terrifying Mexican wave possible.
Mexican waving, not drowning. Carry on.
And I'm just gonna shout, get the books!
Sasha, you're up.
Well, I can run that far and probably jump that high. I think.
It's like
5 meters.
Just 5 meters up.
How much? You said it was. Oh no, 15 feet.
They're 15 feet vertically in the air. You ain't jumping 15 feet.
Fine.
I'm sure there's some props or something.
Yeah,
you can jump off.
What you could do,
I mean, you could be really, really cool. Run up to where the rope is that holds the curtain, slash it, and.
I think I'm gonna do that.
You just do the reverse of what Hammond did earlier.
Yeah,
but you don't know, so it's original and fresh.
Yeah, so I'm gonna run up to the thing where there's the weighted cord. And
I am gonna get you to roll a weird one, but bear with me. Roll disable device.
Sure. I'm very happy to do that.
That's 20 plus 12.
So we're on 32 right
now. So you rush over to the mechanism that controls the curtains and so on, and just as you're about to slash the one that pulls you up, you see another one, and you get a little bit of a glean in your eye. You slash both. The first one pulls you up and propels you into the air. We'll engage with that in a moment. The other one knocks a piece of the scenery plummeting downwards, hurtling downwards towards basically Kafka specifically, because you managed to quickly go, that goes there, that goes there, that goes there. Okay, great. You are currently, at the end of your turn, in midair.
That's where she's happiest. I don't think there's much dagger up. We're done for daggers. That was quite a lot of running.
You are midair. Yeah.
Well, given that, are you now developing a crush on yourself?
I'm amazing.
Sasha takes a few rounds just for a private moment.
The zombies that were chasing behind you burst through the door behind Grizzop, but don't attack him because they're zombies and zombies are so slow.
The nice thing is we are dealing slightly with verticals, but if you can shoot them, I can run there. My move speed is 40.
I'm going to make this canon. If we ever reach the point where Grizzop can fire arrows quick enough for Sasha to jump from one to the other to get places, I'm calling it. We're done.
It's going to be pretty woosha.
Bertie, give me a fort save.
13.
I, in my infinite kindness, am going to give you one last chance. You will be unconscious either way. Are you going to nod and pass the buck, or are you going to go unconscious? But genuinely, you are unconscious at the end of this either way, but the thing will stop if you just nod and pass the buck. Just let someone else take it.
Yeah.
Just let someone else handle it. The thing is, I mean, dead is dead. But Apu Dimension, you might even be able to get out. You don't know. You can probably mess around with those contract people.
Someone important.
What's so bad about?
I mean, you can't blag being dead, but you can blag a contract. I mean, Sir Bertrand MacGuffin.
But he hears all of these voices.
Maybe the narrative focus will shift to his adventures in the Poodle.
Yeah, does the story end, or does it just change? This is genuinely, you are unconscious either way, you just get to make this decision.
It's fertilizer, you can sell that.
The thing is that Bertie is ultimately a terrible person, and he won't have clocked the whole, okay, but then there'll be gratitude, and so people will try and revive him, blah, blah, blah thing. So he, while choking, he's put under this much stress, he nods.
The clues have been there for over 70 episodes. What is wrong with you people?
It's like that thing where statistically, if someone is mean and angry in offices, people tend to overestimate how skilled they are at their jobs.
Yeah.
People assume everyone else is putting up with it for a reason.
Yep.
There's that
awkward moment in the debrief after all of this where we go, is it me or was Bertie actually just rubbish?
He's only good at fighting sometimes.
He's been very good at attracting.
Bertie nods visibly. Sasha and Grizzop, obviously you're quite occupied. Both give me perception checks. The whole audience, they saw.
10.
10? 16. Grizzop, you're too busy. You didn't see it. Sasha, midair, flying to the rescue, you see Bertie nod, and you gained enough, like, he has had an artificially enhanced voice and so on, like, you've gained enough of a sense of what's going on here. Bertie falls unconscious. However, the last thing that Bertie hears is from Kafka. No.
Oh.
And then
you got out evilled in your evilness.
Bert, I was playing the character authentically. How
yes,
dare
you were.
Okay.
Bertie falls unconscious. Hamid, again, I apologise, Bryn, that you've basically been absolutely nerfed in this episode. But you know, Kafka's evil.
Cut to Hamid. He has found a buttress on the roof and has curled up under a small overhang. There's gentle rain.
Is the setting sun lighting up his flaming scales in beautiful
patterns? Could Ego Death Hamid please roll me a perception check?
Perception hasn't changed.
26. Yeah, yeah. 26. What? We'll never know what dragony Hamid makes of it, but the skyline of the entirety of Prague is beginning to shift and warp as all of the clouds of the overcast city have begun to spiral around this one building.
Not the giant blue laser!
I know, right?
The giant blue sky laser, no!
Meanwhile, there are upsprouts of undead throughout the city that are starting to come up from sewers and all over the place. They seem to be everywhere. Of course, to Hamid in this state, it's all just noise and it's a bit cold.
I hope they're a bit wonky because the ritual's been off balance. They'll get up and they're like, whoa.
They all have this weird compulsion to turn only left.
Yeah. They're not ambi-turners, guys. It's a real thing.
So, Kafka, obviously, having dealt with you, turns to the woman, looks at her, then he just gestures dismissively. She flies off into the wings at immense speed. Give me a perception check.
11.
26.
Grizzop?
Yep.
She's flown off enough to get hurt wherever she's been thrown. Sasha, you definitely clock the sound again. You're still in midair. All pistons are firing, but you hear the distinct sound of someone smashing into stuff in the wings.
Probably a drum kit. Probably really dramatic sounding.
But in a bad way. Kafka, meanwhile.
Symbolism.
Oh!
Yeah!
Wow!
That's right, I'm curled up on a rooftop without an ego, but I can still contribute.
Wow!
That was such a base.
Don't try and drum up anymore, we're done.
Yeah.
So anyway, back onto the whole tension and thing. Having used his main action, Kafka goes further up into the auditorium. He's now about 30 feet up at this point. He's approaching, like, up towards the top quarter of the stage, really. He casts a sort of glance at Grizzop's way and then turns back to the book, pulls out the arrows, and quickly starts turning a page. Grizzop, you're up.
Right, so I'm going to reactivate my divine bond.
Probably a good idea.
And mutter, "You can't get away from me that easily." And fire two at the book again.
Go for it. Roll well.
I kind of did. 21 and 19.
21 and 19?
Yeah.
They both hit.
Okay, so that means I get to do this. So that's... is he within 30 foot still?
No.
Okay, so that's 8 fire damage and 5 fire damage on the book.
Holy fire damage as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depends if Artemis is really annoyed at him.
So... the two arrows streak. They're both flaming again. The first one clips the binding because it was the worst shot, but literally tears the entire binding off. And flames basically start licking at the edges of the paper and the book starts coming apart in his hands. Kafka is like, "No! No!" The second one plows into it, clips his hand, and he lets go. And all of the sheaves start drifting apart and falling as separate pieces of paper.
No!
Sasha, you're up. You are in mid-air.
Colossal.
Yeah, I'm in mid-air, but he's about 20 foot away, isn't he?
Can I
somersault through the air and jump on him?
I am going to allow a really high DC acrobatics check to land
swing in
on him. How that happens is up to you, but I need a high acrobatics roll.
Well, Sasha is going to... She's swinging. She's been trying to build up momentum on this thing since Kafka moved. It's swinging back and forth, and let's see how that goes. Oh, no, that's a 7, not a 1. But, so plus 12, 19?
19. So, you roll, you fly through the air. You've missed him. You've missed him. And then at the last second, you reach out and manage to grab the exposed bone from his severed leg.
Slimy.
You can't hang on long. It's covered in blood.
That is your turn, just to get onto him. He's now starting... There's horrible sounds. He is now starting to drift downwards, going, no, no! I'm going to drop out of combat time with one last fact. So, Bertie, you were unconscious. Bertie, you are now dying. You are not dead, but you are dying.
Oh, you're dying, Alex.
However, you know what? You're right. You know what? Well, I don't know why I'm
Bertie's pretty blasé about it, to be honest.
I'm so obsessing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're completely out of it at this point. So I'm just going to skip straight to Kafka. Kafka, he may not have noticed his leg has been cut off, but he does notice that there's someone hanging down there beneath him. However, he is doing nothing. He's paying no attention to you. He knows that you're there. He's just desperately trying, like, he's faffing left at one moment, faffing right at the right. He's trying to catch these sheaves of paper that are just drifting further and further apart. And give me a perception check.
19 plus 10.
So
you can read the individual pages as they burn up.
You can see physical sort of lines of force connecting these pages that are running into him, and they're all just starting to go haywire and firing off into random parts of it. It's only because you're up close you can see them. They'd be invisible to the normal eye, but this close you can see that there's something going on. You haven't got the knowledge to know what's going on, but it's probably not good. As he's reaching out to grab them and reaching out to grab them, he grabs one, and then suddenly the entire room does that sort of suck in again. And then all of the people in the auditorium start beginning to move just a little bit. They clearly haven't realised that they're back in control yet. No one's screaming, but there's that little bit of movement. And the zombies that were literally upon Grizzop stand there. They're not attacking, but they're not really doing anything.
Does he look less hot to Sasha?
He looks less hot. Yeah. In fact, you know what? He's minging. Yeah. Props minging.
His bloodied bone.
Oh.
It's gross.
It must... It's all that... Really? It's theatrical lights. It's all that makeup. The second you get up close, it's always the same. Anyway.
Never meet your heroes. Or your arch nemesis.
Anyway. So, I am dropping you out of combat entirely at this point. So, as Kafka reaches out, he grabs the next one. The zombies give a shudder and then start collapsing and just sort of falling apart upon themselves. One scream starts in the audience, then another and another, and they all start moving, and Grizzop, you're basically knocked to your feet by what is probably a panicked riot as people are trying to flee. And Sasha, suddenly that suction force becomes incredibly strong. Give me a reflex save.
Fourteen.
So, as you and Kafka suddenly begin plummeting towards the ground, you can see the paper suddenly sort of fly back towards him and plaster him as if he's caught in a high wind. Except they don't just plaster against him. It's like they're crushing him. It's like they're incredibly heavy, and they just start crushing inwards on him. Unfortunately, more than one of them keeps catching your hand. You take... take 12 damage all to the hand as they're just crushing inwards. At the last second, you manage to let go, having taken all that damage.
I mean, can I die of injured hand?
No.
And you drop onto the stage. The remaining drop that was left isn't enough to deal you any further damage. However, you just hear that... and then you just... disappears, and all that's left are these pieces of paper that suddenly drift towards the ground. And with that, Bertie, dies.
What? Does he fall on his head?
At the very last moment, the last ebbs of Bertie's life ebb away, and just as the suffocation effect ends, Bertie's already dead.
Bertie's final thought is, this is worse than Rag Week.
Definitely got the end of the episode there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, bye, guys.
Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
So the first one we recorded today was 77. So the second one should be 78.
Yes, that's how it usually works.
You say that, but I'm on the record as being
up a lot. Yeah, if we're in base 78.
That sucks to be you, Lynn. Right, are we good?
Somebody had a really powerful feeble mind spell cough.